Let's start now with Tour 3 of Pulteney Village for a glimpse into the history of churches, commerce, and education. Exit the stone bridge, turn right at the light onto Main Street, and stop at the United Methodist Church. Pulteney was a town of turnpikes and travelers, but also a town deeply rooted in religion. Here, at the United Methodist Church, we note a second milestone in the concentration of industry, commerce, and education in West Pulteney. Built in 1841, it replaced the stone church to the east. The church was moved, in part, to serve a new population in town, the students of Troy Conference Academy, founded at the west end of Main Street in 1834 as a Methodist school for higher learning. Church services were considered a daily part of the lives of citizens, students, and faculty of the town, twice on Sunday. So the local Methodist Society built this church in a more central part of the town, which allowed enough time for the students to walk back to the academy for the midday meal and return in time for the second service. Behind the Methodist Church is the graded school, now the schoolhouse apartments. This school, in its scale and size, was constructed to accommodate a growing population of the town's children, immigrants and locals alike. Equally important, it marks a change from the dispersed one-room schoolhouses to a centralized education system. Built in 1885, the school proclaims in its design the gravity of its mission. The era when it was constructed, the post-Civil War Gilded Age, was noted for social change and prosperity. This social change included education for all. And for two former students, Ed Lewis and Doc Williams, the school memories include being taught how to act civilized.
I remember the first day I went to school down there, they rung a bell for you to come in. It's time to come in. And everybody run like the dickens, and I was the first one up to the door. And Mrs. Van Giler grabbed me by the shirt and said, "You go out to the sidewalk and walk in here like a gentleman." That was my first experience at Pulteney Elementary School.
And when you got out, school was dismissed. You were all went out in the hall, and you lined up, and you walked out to the street, and they had a bass and a snare drum and two people playing them. And when I was in the second grade, you got out of line or out of step, Minnie Carlton would have you right by the ear and yank you right out, and you paid for it somehow.
Next stop, the corner of Main Street and Depot Street. By the 1840s, West Pulteney Village was becoming the center of the two Pulteney villages. Next came the trains. In 1852, rail service arrived to support an era of mercantilism, farming, industry, education, and tourism. This was the slate picker, the rail line that hauled slate from the quarries, shipped agricultural and industrial products, and conveyed the passengers who lived, worked, and visited here. It connected Pulteney to Rutland, to Albany, and on to New York City. This rail line is now the well-used rail trail, utilized for all sorts of recreation. It passes next to the old depot buildings, reminders of the train service that stopped in 1934 during the Great Depression. Sylvia and Newman Williams, longtime Pulteney residents, remember the depot as the place to be.
Everybody went down to the railroad tracks to watch the train coming to see what was going on. That was the fight of the day, was to see who's coming into Pulteney on the train. It was just a tradition, I guess, to watch the world arrive.
Next, stop at Two Editors Inn, corner of College and Main Street. Two famous journalists started their careers in Pulteney and went on to launch two of the most popular newspapers of their times. As editor of the New York Tribune, Horace Greeley advocated reform in many spheres, supporting temperance, transcendentalism, and abolition. he urged a generation to go west. In 1856, he wrote an editorial supporting the creation of the Republican Party and insisted that Lincoln issue the Emancipation Proclamation. Harper's Weekly called Greeley the most perfect Yankee the country has ever produced. The second editor, Pulteney native George Jones, founded the New York Times. He and Greeley met while both worked in businesses around the Green in East Pulteney. The Two Editors Inn now hosts guests who are visiting Green Mountain College, which anchors the west side of Pulteney. The college is in Pulteney in part because the town's residents offered a generous gift in 1834, which persuaded the Methodists to locate the school here. Today, the college maintains its affiliation with the Methodist Church and offers liberal arts and graduate programs with a focus on the environment. Turn left onto College Street, then left at the yield sign onto Bentley Street. The Bentley House, 399 Bentley Street, and the Richardson House, across the street on the college campus, are characteristic of the Victorian homes built by Pulteney's new wealth, created by the mercantilism that served the immigrants working in the slate quarries. The Bentley is a well-conserved example of the so-called painted ladies, typical of the grander Victorian-era homes. Gaudy, colorful, and irregular describe the Queen Anne style, and the Bentley House fits the description, particularly with its asymmetrical design and offset tower. The intricate decoration of these Queen Anne homes helps showcase the wealth earned from the town's unique blend of resources and commerce. This corner of town was developed during the Gilded Age, from the 1880s to the 1900s, and the houses demonstrate an architectural style known for a bit of whimsy, with unpredictable window spacing, various ornate colors, and woodwork of turned columns and geometric patterns, made possible by the introduction of machine lathes. Turn left onto Maple Street. Turn right on Main Street. As a trading center, Pulteney once hosted 5 department stores. Today, the downtown includes new uses for old buildings, but some buildings, the library, the journal press, and the churches, continue to serve the purpose they've had for a century or more. Turn left on Route 30, Beeman Street, to the Stone Bridge. As we close this tour, take a closer look at the Stone Bridge, a house that captures the history of Pulteney. It's named for the stone bridge that crosses the nearby creek. The house was built in 1808 by one of Pulteney's first settlers, Thomas Ashley. He constructed this Federal-style residence for his daughter, and that original structure forms the central part of what is now the Stone Bridge. As with many historic homes, the Stone Bridge has had many owners, many uses, and many remodels. In 1840, the home was purchased by Merritt Clark, who added the two wings and a Greek Revival front. Here he opened the first bank of Pulteney in the west wing. The bank vault was in the cellar of this wing, where the foundation walls are 5 feet thick. In 1901, it became the property of F.W. Barrett, owner of the area's largest department store. In 1952, Dr. and Mrs. E.J. Swinyer purchased the home, and the doctor practiced here for 30 years until his retirement. Many residents still fondly remember their visits to Doc Swinyer's office. The building was opened to the public in 1984 as the Stone Bridge Inn. A fire nearly destroyed the Stone Bridge in 1996. Afterward, the town of Pulteney raised over $800,000 to restore the building to its original grandeur. It's now complete, and it's home to a variety of community service organizations, including the Pulteney Visitor Center. The restoration features colors and details that match those typical of the era. If the Stone Bridge is open, walk inside and witness a house from 2 centuries before, a house that's served many eras, and it still serves us today. You've reached the last stop on the guided portion of the driving tour of Pulteney, but we suggest you continue exploring on foot. To help guide your walks, we offer narrated walking tours of Main Street Pulteney and East Pulteney. As you continue your travels, you may want to visit Lake St. Catherine, 4 miles south of Pulteney. This lake once attracted the likes of Mark Twain. Today, it hosts historic summer camps and summer and winter recreation. Lake St. Catherine State Park offers lake access, picnicking, and camping. To the north, Lake Bomazene also offers lake access, and like so many spots in Vermont, it offers a glimpse into history as well. It was in this lake that East Pulteney native Julio Buell reportedly dropped his lunch spoon, which attracted a swarm of fish. And in 1854, Buell received the first patent for a shiny spoon-based fishing lure. Together, these audio tours explore the Pulteney area, a region that typifies the history of small towns in America. The Pulteney tours are brought to you by the Pulteney Historical Society, the Town of Pulteney, and Green Mountain College, and are supported in part by a Preserve America grant administered by the National Park Service, Department of the Interior. For more information on the audio tours and other attractions, drop by the Pulteney Visitors Center at the Stonebridge in downtown Pulteney.